Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 135. And we are back in the studio and we are excited. I'm joined today by the regular crew, George and Ollie. I'm feeling a bit left out. Now, this is one that you should probably be watching the YouTube version of because there's a lot of pretty stuff to see today. And they are repping some absolutely sick Orange Runner Coffee Club pen relay shirts. Boys, how are we doing?
Fantastic.
Lovely.
And so good to be back.
You got this amazing stuff.
Yeah, we got some things to get through.
We're well dressed and well caffeinated today. That's for sure.
Cleaned up this past weekend up over in Philly. Shall we just? I mean, today we have a lot to talk about. Pen Relays recap, and then also the Diamond League recap for myself. A little side quest to China. Before we get into it, we do have like a lot of awesome bean shout outs to get into. So George, do you want to kick us off?
I will. I would love to kick us off. And this one is a very late one and I apologize in advance. From Bella, thank you so much. The reason this is late is because when we got sent these, it must have been right after the last episode we did in the studio. And then this is literally the next episode. So I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks. So we apologize, Bella, but thank you so much for the beans. We have some beans from New York, 10,000 coffee, a Sydney roast, or Sydney blend, which the boys haven't tried yet. I had a little taste of, but I saved them for the Sydney boys themselves, and some Baltimore beans from where Bella goes to school.
And special.
And custom roasted. It says Gus Coffee Club CEO, custom roasted for Gus. So,
that's so good.
Gus hasn't tried them yet, but we'll get his insights on it. And then more recently, we did clean up in the bean department in Philly. Lovely contribution from the Flow Track podcast that Ollie and I went on Friday. They really knew their stuff, actually, too. I feel like half the podcast was about coffee, and they knew that we liked preferably a single origin, like light to medium roast.
They did their research.
They were dialed in. So we have Radio Coffee and Beer. Wait, that is Radio Coffee, RCB Roasters.
Mozart's
Coffee Roasters. And this one looks really good. This is one, this is born in Melbourne, made in Austin. Proud Mary. Like, that's a good looking bag.
Looks amazing.
That's the one I'm excited to try. So that's the Austin, Tour de Beans of Austin.
So good. They did a Flow Track.
Yeah, no, they did us very well.
Trying to get in our good books, I think.
Yeah, it looked like it. Definitely looked like it. Getting three bags from one podcast, that's pretty special. Then they might have a crush on us.
Then we have some others as well.
We do. Once we were doing our special NIL, a lovely gentleman by the name of Michael came up and gave us a lovely bag of beans. These are whole bean coffee from, I haven't read it here, Philadelphia. Saxby's Coffee, roasted and distributed. And it doesn't have Make Life Go. Go get an espresso. It doesn't show me, unless I'm blind, it does not show me what the roast is. But thank you so much, Michael. It's got a lovely little message on here that we'll all get to read. And then Paul, who was screaming at me for about an hour after the race, was trying to get me to run over to the stands to give me these two bags of beans. Him and his daughter ran with us with the group run last year. And he's edited this bag to say Coffee Club are legends because it's a legend blend, dark roast. And then this is a Big Iron medium dark roast from Speakeasy Coffee Company, which I think is also Philadelphia. Both Philly coffees. So thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much, Michael. It's always a treat when people come up with a bag of beans and share their little spiel about their favorite coffee. It's always very, very fun and very rewarding. The fun thing doing that too is when I see like teammates, like when we're doing this like with the signing, and there's a few teammates around with the OAC, And you can tell they're getting a little jealous that we're getting free coffee compared to the rest of the team.
I'd be jealous about that.
We've been very lucky and very spoiled by you guys, so thank you so much.
Yeah, and if you thought that was enough, well, boy, I got something else in store for you here. This is very special. This was delivered to us, so this was sent, so separate from the Pen Relays Madness. This comes from, I'm not sure if you guys would have seen it, but there's an Instagram page called Hot Boys Who Run.
Wait, I get tagged. I
feel like we've been tagged in there.
They show us some love on the Instagram, and then now they also show us some absolute love in person. So I'll get this little. I got a bag of tricks from them, and
a bag of tricks.
It's amazing. First off, there is coffee. They're from. I think they're from.
Oh, yeah, those look legit.
Yeah, they're from Brooklyn, like you know, Brooklyn coffee scene. So we got some. I guess you pronounce that pipe and table roasting. They sent a letter with it as well. It's from I think it's just like a local Brooklyn roaster. They look amazing. And then they also sent us a bunch of, they have like their merch. And so there's one for everyone.
Are they?
Pass them around.
Hot and Boys Who Run bracelets?
Yeah.
Stay hot?
Bracelets and stickers that say Hot Boys Who Run and all this stuff. It's like little goodie bags. I'm so excited to like,
this is
rep
so funny.
This hard.
I'll put this one on right now. Stay hot.
It's so good.
Weird about wearing a Hot Boys Who Run.
Just own it, man. Just own it.
Makes me feel like I'm telling everyone that I'm hot.
Why would you not tell people that?
Well, there's a little indentation in my skull of feeling like it's a bit arrogant, but I love it.
So good.
Hot Boys Who Run. Stay
so
hot.
This is just so pretty. I don't know if they actually sell these or not. We'll have to double check that. But if I was out there, if I was a consumer, I'd want to buy this. So
yeah, no, I would too. I just
as a present, this is like an amazing gift.
The stickers are unreal.
Little goodie bag.
Wow. Well, their merch is like
that is a lot of fun.
Pretty amazing. Hot and fast, dude. Mm-hmm. These would be great for my Morton bottles. You know when you got a sticker your bottle, so you know which one's which.
Mm-hmm.
These stickers would be fantastic for it.
They also said next time that we're in town, that town being New York, I believe they'd like to take us on a little tour of Brooklyn.
That would be
amazing. Have you met?
No. But I just know that they're Brooklyn runner scene.
Are they anonymous?
Anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we don't know who they are.
Don't know who they are.
And like then, no context, technically.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is amazing. Thank you so much. And then
that is so good.
The final gift that they sent.
There's more?
This is amazing. Check this out.
Wait,
what the hell?
The fuck is that?
For those that are listening.
Oh my goodness.
For those that are listening, this is a beautifully framed poster. It's a portrait of Gus.
As a general.
As a general in his commando costume. So I don't know where we're going to put this.
I mean, it's going to have to go on that, right there. Can they see it on the camera?
Yeah, that's perfect.
That kind of looks like, I don't want to make it sound morbid, but that looks like Gus has died, and it's like
oh, don't do that to me.
This is gonna be with Ollie his whole life. Once Gus has died,
when Gus passes away, perfect. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be.
He will be remembered forever. That's for sure.
So this is just we're just absolutely spoiled here. So
you know who'll just like be on the wall, but like in memory.
In memory.
That's so funny. That's the most ridiculous frame I've ever seen.
Isn't it perfect for the picture as well?
It just matches the picture very well.
So well. So huge thank you to Hot Boys Who Run. Everyone go follow them on Instagram.
Well, I'm going to have to follow
them
back.
I just followed them today.
Yeah, I'm going to have to follow them back.
Yeah.
That was that's probably one of the best gifts we've ever gotten.
Absolutely amazing.
Particularly that portrait. That's just hilarious.
So, yeah. So
the bar has been set quite high
for packages
these days.
Also,
the Providence girls set the bar pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just like, everyone's just trying to outdo each other. It's great.
I wonder if we'll ever meet Hot Boys Who Run. Like, them.
Well, I think we owe them a Gus plushie as well.
Yeah.
We need to send it out to them. So we'll try to arrange that. We still owe the Providence ladies a Gus plushie as well.
Mm. Haven't forgotten.
We should have brought one to Penn.
We should have.
That would have been the easy way to do it because we're just so bad at going to the post office, apparently. It's really hard.
I live really close to the post office, so I can do drop-offs.
We'll set it up.
Yeah.
We'll set it up. I think we even, okay, we got to take care of that. But yeah, thank you once again to everyone giving us all these amazing gifts that we treasure and enjoy so much. So feeling very spoiled over here. But without further ado, I think it's time to get into the episode, some running talk. So I did a little intro at the start of last episode, which shout out to George for conducting an amazing interview with the Flag Boys. Little spin-off series coming soon. Flag Pod. I think Flag a lot Pod. Of people really enjoyed hearing
this is
from
the Coffee Club what's it called? Expanded Universe?
Yeah.
What do we call it? The CC.
We had some name for it at some point.
I thought it was the CCEU.
Or was it just the CCU?
Maybe it was just the CCU, Coffee Club Universe. I don't know. Whatever it is.
It was something good. If anyone remembers that,
yeah,
they should remind us. It was a good one.
Wouldn't that be perfect if like we had a Flagstaff episode and then like a Boulder episode that were like alongside each other and they were like rivals and friends and all that?
But we own both of them.
But we're pulling the strings on top.
Yeah.
Setting up these massive rivalries.
Well, the guy in that portrait's actually pulling the strings for everything.
We know who's really pulling the strings. Let's not kid ourselves on that matter. But yeah, amazing episode. And I mentioned at the start that I had a change of plans. That's why I wasn't back in America with the boys and able to film. So pretty much what happened with me is I got back from Aussie Nationals to Australia and I was meant to fly back to the States a few days later. And I get the text from Dathan being like, hey, do you want to race in China? What do you think about that next week? And I was at the time I was really like out of it kind of because I thought I was like taking a break and stuff because Nationals had kind of signified like the end of my winter racing block. Kind of like the end of that. So I wasn't thinking about these races, but then after I did start thinking about it, I'm like, wow, makes so much sense. Going to China from Australia, a bit easier. Still a long flight, still 11-hour flight sitting into Shanghai, but only a 2-hour time difference. And then also just an opportunity to get in a Diamond League 5K, which for me is like not the, especially like going into the Olympics, not the easiest thing. It's not like I can just like get into every race. And then like these races, because they're in China, like a slightly weaker field and stuff, and it's so early in the year. So it made a lot of sense to try to take advantage of it for a ranking standpoint and just to get another good race experience in.
So that feel like an easy decision in the end?
Yeah. By the time, what was a bit confusing, I guess, is I didn't know if I wanted to race the first one or the second one or both of them. Mm. Oh, I knew that I didn't want to race. So for people at home that don't know, it is kind of crazy they did this, but they had back-to-back meets in China. And both of them had men's 5Ks. It was pretty much identical meets because their idea was that they could get really good people over to race both of them. That's like how they could sell it.
And it makes sense in a lot of ways because the travel is super long. And like if you're going to make the effort to get all the way there, you may as well keep people there for the week.
And for sprinters and field events, it makes more sense as well. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Two competitions in a week. Two 5Ks in a week though.
And also the thing with the Diamond League 5Ks, it's not that, they're a little bit rare. Like they're not rare, but there's not like a ton of like, you know, it's not that many 5Ks.
No, there's only a few in the year.
If you knock two of them out in China at this beginning, it's a little bit weird. So it is what it is though.
Anyway. There'll be people like come September with points for the Diamond League final that like got points back in April, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's how it goes. So that was what was going down. I decided just to like do the second one because then I had a bit more time in Australia to prepare because I was actually pretty tired after Nationals, I think, coming off it. Even though it was only like a 13:40 race, my body was a bit tired and also mentally there was a bit of a come down as well. I'm sure you experienced that as well.
Yeah.
So it was like, it made more sense to, I was like, if I'm going to do one, try to make the most of it, like put myself in the best chance possible. And then also I ended up getting kind of lucky because I didn't really know this, but the second one ended up being like much better conditions. The first one was quite hot and humid, apparently. Unfortunately, Sam Parsons ended up in hospital after it with some heat stroke. So luckily, I didn't have to deal with that. The second one was in a small Chinese town called, I'm going to butcher the name, Suzhou.
I thought you were going to say, I thought that was like a joke leading into Shanghai, a small Chinese town with 25 million people.
Well, it is kind of
Wait,
a joke.
Was it actually not in Shanghai? I thought it was.
No, well, it's kind of a joke because Suzhou is a town that you might have never heard of and it's a 10 million people.
Seriously?
And it's next to Shanghai.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I hadn't heard of it either. And I was really confused because it said like Shanghai / Suzhou Diamond League. And I think they just say that because sometimes it's in Shanghai. And so they're kind of like combined. And also the cities are next to each other. Like when you drive, dude, I just got to like, okay. So in the past, I've come on this show and I've slandered cities. You know, I've gone hard on them. China, yeah, I fucking loved it there.
Yeah. How were your few days? Did you get there? You got there in time to work out. So you must have had 3 or 4 days, right?
I got there Tuesday before a Saturday race. And I don't know. What do you guys think of when you think of China. What would you expect going there?
I mean,
I have been to Shanghai.
I haven't been to China, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd say like overpopulation is like a big thing, and then the smog
lots
thing.
Of people, yeah.
Like, so like very dense, urbanized place, I guess is what I would think, but you've been, so you probably...
No, I think, I mean, I think I feel like the same, like densely populated, like a million high rises, just a big concrete jungle with like a lot of people.
Yeah, which is exactly what it is. But also there's a ton of green. It's very green, which was cool. And we were staying next to, like, there's a lot of water around where we were staying. And the city that we were in was very, very modern and very, way more Western than I thought it was going to be. There was every, like, fast food you could think of was, like, around us. There was, like, Starbucks, Pete's Coffee. What's the other coffee chain that's in Europe? Like, Costa? Europeans will know which one I'm talking about. There's a Taco Bell there. Like, there was, it's just, like, I don't know. I had this idea that, like, China wasn't really... like letting all this American like stuff exist there. Dude, there was Teslas there. And I was shocked by that because I was just thinking China wants to be, you know, the world leader in electric vehicles. I'm thinking like, you know, they would say, fuck you to Tesla. But no, there's Teslas is everything. And people there were super friendly, super nice. Yeah, the one thing that, or the two things I would say that are kind of make it so that you wouldn't want to be there for too long is the smog. That's definitely a thing there. It's pretty polluted. And then it's really developed. So it's like, yeah, super, like everything's like perfectly planned out, really good urban planning. But what that means is they don't believe in like soft surface. So if you're trying to run, it's like everything is just concrete. So that gets a little bit old. But yeah, they look after you so well at a Diamond League like that. So like the hotel
was
awesome. Dude, amazing. I mean, people that were there for a long time were really sick of it by the end. But I had a street gong of dumplings every meal, and I was just so happy because they had like three dumpling things that would rotate out, or they'd sometimes put in like rice cakes and stuff, and I was just in heaven eating that every meal. I like the way they eat there a lot. It's different. They don't really, they're much more like for breakfast, they're much more prone to like hot and salty stuff. Like they have all the options there. It's a hotel. But one thing that I thought that was funny is they had kind of like a noodle bar type thing, like where there's a chef there making you fresh noodles and you put all the toppings in it, but it was only there for breakfast. So if you wanted it, you had to get it at breakfast.
Noodle breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. I did it one time because I was like, well, I got to...
in Rome.
Yeah, I got to take
it. Well, what about, did you turn the TV in on in the hotel and just watch Chinese TV? I would be curious to see what it's like.
I should have done that, which I didn't. I didn't even turn the TV on once, but...
What can you not go on?
So
YouTube?
So this is the crazy thing. I thought everything was going to be blocked, but for everyone in the hotel, they unblocked everything.
For us.
Yeah. So like so everything was
just on this Wi-Fi network how do they even
on the Wi-Fi?
How do they get permission to do that?
I have this, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like they really want people visiting the country to have an amazing time. They want exactly what's happening right now. Like they want everyone to go home to their podcast
and tell the world that China's the best.
How good China is. Mm. Because I think like, yeah, the first thing a lot of people would say is, yeah, I couldn't go on like any of my social media.
Well, but I was wondering with tourism, like
unblocked it.
Because China has a Great Wall of China, but it has a lot of history and heritage there. Like it's one of those destinations you'd think would have high tourism rates. But I wonder if maybe there is a thing like the past few years, particularly with COVID, it's been affected by tourism, like a lot of other 100%. Countries in the world where it's just like not many people are traveling there anymore. And they're just trying to boost it up by saying, hey, you can listen to the Coffee Club podcast on YouTube in China. So might as well.
I wonder what our China numbers are like.
Yeah, probably.
Probably non-existent.
Probably not
YouTube's
great.
Banned, isn't it?
Based on how many fans I saw, they're not great. So zero. But yeah, it is weird. So yeah, all that stuff is normally blocked. Like Google, I think, is even blocked.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like normally. So they got their own version of everything.
What about Reddit? Is Reddit blocked? Discord? What about the Discord? Good question about the Discord.
I think Discord might not be. I have no idea. I think they, well, no, probably is. I think they block anything that's like American social media, comes from America.
Except TikTok.
So TikTok.
Blocked. Yeah. So I should have downloaded that. I would have been able to use it.
Is it blocked in America? It's blocked in a state, isn't it?
I think they have some rules sometimes because they don't want like government officials
trying to block
on TikTok. Yeah, there's a lot of controversy because... Now we're getting into politics.
Yeah, we're getting into the spy, James Bond style stuff. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and the track was sick. Is they're just so, I don't know, they just develop stuff. It's so modern. I was next to a construction site, and there's like over 100 people working on it. And they're working on it. They have, I guess they have shifts. They're working on it at 10 p.m. at night. Like when I go to bed, the site is fully active. Forklifts, cranes going, everything. I wake up at 5
No time to waste.
Like still working on it. They're just amazing. So they've built these amazing facilities, like amazing track, warm-up track. All this was so good. And they had, it was like a massive Olympic sports complex. So they had like the swimming, all the indoor stuff, all that. So I had no complaints in terms of any of that stuff. And
is it Shanghai that got Worlds or Beijing?
I think it's Beijing.
Beijing.
27.
Because that's where the Olympic facility
is. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. It is Beijing.
Yeah, which I'm sure that's similar. Pretty cool city as well. So
the Bird's Nest is a very cool stadium.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. That'll be epic. Mm. Hopefully we're there. But, yeah, so going into the race, the only thing was, like, there was a bit of chatter about the pacing because Borrego was there. And I think his agent wanted a quick race. There was a funny conversation with him and Sam Parsons in the elevator, like, the day before the race.
Sam and Borrego?
Yeah, because you know how Sam just, like, he just talks to everyone? And he was talking about the pace. He asked him, like, oh, you want really quick pace, right? You want 7:42? So is that what you want? You asking for 7:42? And Borrego's like, no, not 7:42, just 61s. And then Sam's like, yeah, so 7:42, right? He's like, no, just 61s, it's fine. Not that fast. So anyway, the pace that they asked for was 61s. And so as you saw this happen last year a few times when the pace is that hot, it became clear that I wasn't going to go with the pace and that the race was going to split up into two races. And I was okay with that. I mean, obviously I would have preferred like 13:05 pace or something like that. But I mean, Breg is he's the champion, you know, he can ask for whatever pace he wants. And so going into the race, everything was feeling good. I was excited, ready to go, racing a lot of familiar faces. The Aussie boys, Sam Parsons, Mike Foppen. I was listing all the different people.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Sam changed allegiance to Australia.
Not yet.
I was thinking that maybe that's coming. We don't know.
Yeah, sorry. Aussie boys, Sam Parsons.
Mike Foppen.
My roommate Kieran from Bowman. Oh, dude, I got some Bowman dirt. Nah, just kidding. just kidding.
Kieran let it all out while he was in China. He thought he'd stay in China.
I wish. I didn't know what to ask.
We did see Jerry, though, at Penn. We'll get to that later.
Is that Penn? Oh, I guess.
Yeah, Oregon. He was.
I forget that he coaches Oregon.
Yeah, he coaches the Oregon coach.
It's always, I assume Kieran / no one at Bowman listens to this podcast, but it's always fun because I don't think I'd ever properly met Kieran before. So it's always, I'm sure you guys have had like somewhat similar things occur where you know that all the people in Bowman probably, they don't hate you, but like they
resent.
They know, like they've definitely been on a lot of runs where they've been like, "These fuckers like said this," or like, yeah. Like, you, and then you're rooming with them, and then you're like super nice to them, and you're like, "What does this person really think about me? What's going on here?" But yeah, he was awesome, great roommate. But yeah, going into the race, I think like all of us kind of knew, like, yeah, we'll just
do our own thing.
We'll have our pack and we'll run as quick as we can. And I was ready for that. And then I get in the race and we actually got going. I've had many reports that it was the most unwatchable 5K ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was shocking.
You want to? Yeah, because it was a good time, right?
It was 8:30
in Eastern.
Time.
I set my alarm for 8:30. Well, we were like shaking out by 9. So it was like actually quite a good time. I was like, all right, I'll just get up and like watch it while I freaking get ready.
Do my exercises.
Yeah, exactly. Turned it on. Morg's right on the line. Perfect timing. Race starts. Didn't see Morgan again.
Immediately, 20 seconds later.
Saw Callum Davies for a little bit.
Yeah.
Running some 61s up front. And who was the other pacer?
It was a French guy.
One of those like Diamond League's freaking regulars.
Yep.
Who does the pacemaking.
Yep.
And then it was just Borrego and a couple of mates. Of mates of Borrego, some 17-year-old dude.
Oh, yeah.
His 5K PR was like, it was the junior guy. He had run one 5K at altitude or something. It was like 14 something. Yeah. And then he ran like 12:50
something. Yeah, he came second. Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then they didn't once pan to the rest of the race.
Yeah.
Even after the race had finished, they just filmed Borrego standing around.
Mm-hmm. And there were no splits apparently either. The splits like weren't working.
No splits.
So very unwatchable, unfortunately. But So I guess you guys didn't get to see that. So I can tell you everything that happened from my perspective.
And no lying.
No. Yeah, this is all true. There is a second pack, and we went out initially because they had lights for 13.05 pace as well, and we were not that far off them for like the first K, but then like they started slipping away, and I don't know. It was like, I think it was a good night to run fast, but it's still not the best night. So they started slipping away, and then it was like, we're just going on solo, and like 13.05 is very, very, very hard to do. So it's like, I don't think anyone was quite up to that task in our pack. So it became more of like a tactical race in the pack, I guess. Jack Rayner was doing all the leading, like the first 3K, which a lot of respect for him. But by 3K, it slowed down quite a bit, and we hit 3K around 8 minutes. So not crazy. I was feeling pretty decent at that point, and that's when I actually went to the front and started working it a little bit because, I don't know, I just felt good. I felt all right. And I kind of kept that spot at the front of the second pack for essentially the rest of the race. Mike Foppen made a pretty big move around me on the second to last lap and gapped me a bit. And then caught a few people, like some of the people from the front pack that went out with Brega were dying. So we caught a couple of bodies along the way and a couple more in the last lap. But then, yeah, was able to kick down solid and end up running about 13.18 and came seventh. Brega won in, I believe, 12.55. So he was pretty far ahead. 17-year-old was second, also under 13. But yeah, I mean, for me coming seventh, and I guess I ended up like second out of that pack, like on the day, considering the race, I was happy with that. I think there's always a little bit of like, oh man, I wish like I could have run quicker when you run like 13.18. But it's honestly, considering everything, I was like, yeah, pretty happy with that. Another good race experience, just clicking along, just, yeah. And I'll get probably good points and stuff from that as well. So yeah, I was pretty happy. I was pretty tired after it as well. It was definitely like a solid effort in the end. I don't know what we closed or anything like that though. No idea on the splits, but yeah, it was cool. I really enjoyed the race. The crowd was like going pretty crazy. I think, were they showing, was it pole vault happening while we were racing or something?
I think Mondo was going for the world record during the 5K.
Yeah, I think like, because there was a lot of crowd noise during that time, so I think there was exciting stuff happening in the field events at the same time. So yeah, honestly, a solid race. Still, in terms of like where I'm at with everything, my body feels good. I feel like I just got to keep clicking along, just keep consistent training and racing. Racing all these 5Ks, because I guess I've already raced 3 5Ks this year, has made me realize how little I've raced in the last period of like, I don't know, 3 years or whatever it is. And I feel like I get a lot out of each one right now. So it's good to just keep ticking them off and just keep moving forward in different ways. So from that perspective as well, I was very happy with just another good experience. A Diamond League race, you know?
I feel bad saying that it was such a bad watching experience because I don't want people to then go, oh, next Diamond League 5K, not going to watch that because those guys, they're pretty good. Those guys said that they're really boring.
Yeah.
But there should be like, though I can't remember that many from last year, but easily the best 5K to watch last year, apart from Worlds, was the Florence 5K, which was by far the slowest paced 5K of the whole year, like in the 750s, which is for all these guys running 12:50 something, is like a jog basically, like the 12 people like at the bell. It was like the only good watching experience. Like there needs to be some, like why does Brega's agent have enough power to decide how fast they should run?
Yeah, must.
It's
just,
such.
That's just meat, how they do it. Yeah,
the meat just needs to like we're trying to produce a product that is good for entertainment, so they should make the race that way, which 100%. Is not by making it a one person race within the first 2 minutes. No one wants to watch that. Like these meat directors should be like telling, like, this is what we're gonna do. This is how we're gonna make it entertaining.
Yeah,
we don't give a shit how fast you want to run. You want to go run a world record? Go to some meet no one cares about.
Yeah.
Don't come to the best meet in the world.
The sad thing is that if that race had been paced at 13.05, he still would have run 12.55 probably.
Probably.
He would have closed really hard, and then it would have been much more of a race. Like there would have been all the bodies together. So it would have been way better.
Instead, they ran a bunch of 61s, and then they ran like,
I think it was a 65.
It was a 65.
Yeah.
After 3K, because I don't know, that was so far ahead. Like who really gives a shit at that point? Like,
yeah. I think with Diamond Leagues, the meet directors don't care about what we call good racing. they want just as many. They want to have like the world lead set in each race. They want like the meet records.
They
set.
Also want the names in it. Like if Berega's agent gets told to fuck off, then he's like, well, I'm not sending Berega back to this meet. And particularly with the two Chinese meets, they desperately need people to get into those meets. But I do agree, George. I think particularly with like pre-mile, for example, we've had this discussion. I don't think pre-mile should be paced. The amount of talent in that field, just let them race. Just let us race and see who comes out on top. Like, that's what people want to see. But like, I think they're going for the world record in the in the mile. Well, I've heard
that's crazy
that Jakob's going for like a very quick time. But it doesn't, like, for me, you look at it and think, well,
don't lose hope on that one. There's word on the street that the pre mile has the potential to be something entertaining.
But potential to be entertaining. You're saying potential to not be paced then.
Exactly. But I'm saying potential. No one gets.
I think the pre-mile in the past has not been paced. Is that correct? Or am I just making
that up? I'm not sure, honestly.
Not in my memory. But like, if they run the world lead, who does the meet director then go and like brag about that to?
The other meet directors.
We got the world lead at our meet. Like, what do they get out of that?
Maybe not the world lead specifically, but like.
No, I think you're right though. They do. They do want the world record.
They want world records, national records.
Who do they go tell? That happened.
The meet directors, World Athletics, looks good on their resume. They're like, we've had a meet where we've had these athletes set world leads, these athletes set world records.
Why don't we talk about
your resume? Tickets sold or the number of people watching or like. We need a new measure of success. I mean, obviously, like we could talk about the same shit over and over again, but we need a new measure of success.
Well,
I'm sure
all the meet directors that have been listening to you, George, will be like, you know what? He's right. Let's change it.
Yeah, dude, I'm getting so jealous at all these other leagues. Sorry to
jump in there.
That's happening right now. I'm like, why are we not getting this backing? You know, why is Michael Johnson getting 30 mil? Why is the co-founder of Reddit sponsoring me? Come to us.
I have to admit though, 30 million to Michael Johnson, like amazing athlete, right? Amazing, got great opinions. Why would you give 30 million to a guy who's never run a meet before in his life? Like, no offense to Michael Johnson, but like, there's other people that have run meets successfully.
I assume he's got like, some other people helping him out.
We haven't technically run a meet either, so.
But that's what my point is though, it's not that easy to run meets. It's not. We do give a certain individual and a certain
meet
a bit of slack, but they do sometimes pull it off, and it is very hard to run meets. We know that. But it's interesting that they've given all this money. Hopefully that Michael has gotten like good people to organize these meets and like make it function properly, because you could also just get 30, like, oh, you got $30 million. You could just throw it down the drain. It could just be a waste of money. I mean, we've seen in the sport how money can be wasted. We've seen firsthand how money is wasted in the sport, whether it's marketing, whether it's just setting up this big meets, like the meet in Australia, Morgs, the Nitro meet. That was $1 million to take Usain Bolt there, and it was supposed to be the big revamp of like athletics, and it died. They just didn't hit the mark. Like, it is very tough, but like, I think, George, you've got a point. The meet directors could make these meets so much more entertaining and also profitable, having that kind of excitement, because that whole Florence meet was crazy. Every race in that meet was like pretty cool.
Yeah.
But there was a world record though. In the women's 15.
The thing is, I don't know, that Florence meet was amazing. But I think I think some of the 5Ks that were fast were also really exciting when there was like three guys
running.
When
there's people running for
it,
yeah.
When there was like three guys trying to run, that all could run it. Like, that was exciting as well.
Mm. Yeah, Monaco was actually a decent race at the front.
Mm. If it's just Chepta guy like going for the world record,
Oslo, like even those,
it was
two,
only two guys, yeah, but they went to the line at least.
The 1500 was exciting. Like, you had nine guys running sub 330. We were all there.
Yeah.
Like, the 1500 is not the problem.
Yeah, 1500 is great. But we'll talk probably more about the Michael Johnson and all these other meets at a different episode.
It's interesting to see how that develops with like who he puts in charge.
Well,
of
I don't
what.
Understand. I haven't seen any information about.
I've just seen that he's got $30 million. Like that's all I've seen.
That what the idea is.
What if he calls it the Michael Johnson League and it's the exact same league as yours? And he's been listening and he's like, I'm going to take Morgan McDonald's idea and I'm going to make it successful.
I'd be happy. Actually, there's no way he would though, because my meet is just a distance runner only
thing.
That
is true. He's.
He's definitely
he likes distance,
sprinters.
But he's much more sprinter based, which is obviously fair.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was another exciting 5K Diamond League 5K, and a decent race for me. Happy to be chugging along. Happy to be healthy and consistently doing it. It's just, it's fun. It's really fun. So I'm happy with that. Yeah, that was China. Didn't get much sleep. Traveled back to the US. Dude, it's just stuff at the back of the plane. The hundreds of people. It's
Wait, so you didn't get upgraded? Oh, you got upgraded on the way there.
On the way there, I did. But then I think the Shanghai to San Francisco flight is pretty hard to get upgraded on. I think it's a big
common business route.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It was fine. I made it back here. I've been back here for a couple of days now, getting through. I fell asleep yesterday when I was trying to watch the Fallout TV show.
Apparently it's amazing.
Yeah, so I was a bit jet lagged, but getting back into it, I have a nice easy week of training, so all is good. So yeah, should we hop into some pen relays madness?
Pen relays, best meet of the year.
Is this the third time? Yeah.
The third time I'm sponsored one of the days for the meet, yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Because apparently there's pen 3 days, so one day sponsored by Chick-fil-A. Friday sponsored by On, and then Saturday sponsored by Toyota.
Is it actually Chick-fil-A?
Red Sid, or someone was saying the line for free Chick-fil-A was like wrapped around the stadium or something.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
A Chick-fil-A sandwich is like $4.
Yeah. Amazing.
I guess if they're giving out. I mean, people love free Chick-fil-A apparently.
Yeah. Especially high schoolers.
But this is the thing. I wonder if there'd be a line for On shoes if they were free like that.
Oh, it'd be the longest line ever.
Yeah.
You get
the value of it, it's like I'm getting a really expensive pair of shoes. Oh, I'm on a line.
Oh, we had a line like that for free stuff.
Yeah.
I felt like some of the people in our line were just like had heard that there was a free t-shirt or something.
Like, I was on main south. And you have to sign a contract? Yeah, give me the contract. I'll get a free shirt.
People would probably sign their lives away for a free Chick-fil-A sandwich.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Retweet.
So we'll go through it. These boys were out there on the track on Saturday, but before that on Friday. And I was really sad that I wasn't there because, you know, we've been planning, doing a couple of cool things for Pen Relays as Coffee Club does. Last year we had awesome interview with Devin Allen. The year before that we had a cool interview on the actual Franklin Field with Owen. So Owen has been really good to us, setting us up to do cool stuff. And this year we wanted to do a little bit more. We stepped away from doing like a live podcast type thing and we wanted to have it being more of an event. And the goal was to set the world record, well, the world best for the most NIL deals in history in one day. And the idea behind this was just every time that Citrus Mag and a certain company just, they have like these
blows up
days,
our feed.
They blow up the feed with NIL deals and it's so annoying to see it. And it's just over the top. And I mean, we know they just do it because like they just get paid to do it. You know, it's business. It is what it is. But we were like, why don't we take this and see how far we can push it? So we made the goal of selling as many NIL deals as we could possible. And I don't have the number exactly. But
that's
wasn't
what
like
I was just wondering.
Was it like 100?
You can calculate the number from the here.
What, are you going to count every single Instagram post?
No, but
you can be here a while.
But
either just over 100 or just under 100.
Around 100, because we had 100 shirts to give away, I think.
And maybe, 100. And I'm wearing one, so I guess that doesn't count. And Ollie's wearing one.
No, but I think there were some extras as well.
Maybe if they were extras,
something like that. Well, no, actually, you can go on our Instagram and look. I think they all are there. But anyway, it was just a cool excuse to do a meet and greet, pretty much, and. Like we had an RSVP list, people signed up, so like kind of get it locked in and get to give away a free cool shirt, which we were really excited to make with the Orange Runner. Him and Tom Lane were at work with that and just doing something cool. So just a really fun way to connect with the fans overall. I mean, from your guys' perspective, was that what it was essentially? I heard you guys were just swamped.
I think that was, and actually that's what I think was kind of one of the bonuses of not doing a live podcast and just having a hangout instead is that it gave more FaceTime with the fans, which is a cool thing to do at a meet like Penn where, you know, we were on our feet for probably 3 or 4 hours just in the sun on Friday, which we're probably not going to do before a bigger race for a more important meet of the year. But before Penn Relays,
I got so burnt.
Ollie was getting fried out there.
I was so burnt and I was tired. I was like, this is not good before my mile. And I was like worried about George too, because we were both like, because most of the like our other OAC teammates had like done their thing there and then they just left. And then me and George were like, we can't leave, the line still going. Like we want to obviously interact with our fans. They've like made this effort to wait in line. But we were both like yeah, this is
no, like, it was too good an opportunity.
Yeah, say. you can't miss out on that opportunity. But it was funny because we're both thinking like this is probably not a good pre-race method to run well if you're
just get dehydrated in the sun.
Yeah,
not a problem at Penn.
No,
so that was very cool. And but like I was saying, there were people. I mean, shit, I was so impressed with how long people lined up for, because there was a bit of a process to like kind of sign in, not just the signing thing, but sign in with Tom Wang to get details and stuff. So it did take a little bit of time, and then photos, etc. So the line was quite long, and I was like convinced, like there was so many people. I was like, some of these people surely are just lining up for because they think there's something. Like
there must be something cool.
There must be something cool at the end of this line without even knowing what it actually was. Yeah, the whole coffee club team put in an absolute
shift.
It was incredible. Shout out to, I mean, George and I didn't do much. It was mostly Tom Wang.
Ollie were doing the least by far.
I do have a list of thank yous.
We should
do it.
Yeah, go.
Obviously Tom Wang for it. He did so much in terms of organizing this. Big thank you to the orange runner. He came down and helped with the setup. And
there in person. In his bright orange t-shirt. So. Yeah.
So clearly identifiable.
Yeah.
He's an awesome, awesome guy. He did the artwork for this. And we've been using the artwork for some, I mean, he did like for a bunch of stuff now. We just really, really, really love it. It's our intro and all that. So good.
Frojo was a big one.
Frojo Baggins, our super fan from Philly. He helped.
He was handing out every single t-shirt, getting the sizes right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was putting in a shift.
We got to send him some merch. Cordell. Did you guys get to meet Cordell?
Photographer. Photos.
Photographer. I've never met him before, but I've heard about him a lot because he went to Iona when Colin, my friend, was there.
So he was grinding.
Yeah, he was grinding. I don't think you could talk to him because he was that busy taking photos of everyone.
Yeah. Check him out on Instagram at DellsPOV, DellsPOV. Tyson was out there going to work
Tyson
as well.
Tyson Meehy was putting in more work for us than the on booth. Thank you, Tyson.
He's grinding. Tyson
His loyalty has not changed. His loyalty has not changed. He is still loyal to us, so that's good to know.
I mean, he's an OG Coffee Club TC, like episode in the teens, maybe.
I think probably even before maybe the teens.
Was it single digits?
I think it might have been single.
Top early days.
I know him and Joe Hardy have like an early days pod. And then
he came on with Cullen as well.
Cullen as well.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so thank you.
He's seen the coffee club come a long way.
Yeah.
from humble beginnings.
Do people know that he works for OAC now?
We haven't seen anything. I don't think there's been a formal announcement.
Oh, that's just for tech. We didn't. Yeah, just forget we said that. We'll let the brand take care of that. Army came and they delivered sandwiches, which is absolutely amazing.
We got a. What was that place called? Prime subs
or something.
Were they yummy?
They were good. It was very like
Prime
East
hoagies.
Coast.
Prime hoagies.
Yeah, it was very East Coast sandwich. It was very nice.
Yum yum yum.
Yeah, it was really good.
Shout out to our lords at On, Izzy, Steve, and Andy for letting
our
us
lords.
Do something ridiculous like this.
Yeah, thank you,
in the
lords.
First place.
Thank you, my lords.
We love that you guys let us do cool stuff like this. And then just everyone else that is out there supporting, etc. That's all. Thank you.
Tom did say that some people had left the line because it was too long and they couldn't be bothered to wait. So we were overly successful, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, which I feel fantastic. Bad for them, but that's a good sign.
That's a good sign for us. Unfortunately, those people missed out. But I counted the posts.
Yeah, what was
it? I might be incorrect, but it says 83 at the moment.
83, good numbers. I mean, and we broke the world record, right?
Yes, we got handed.
We have an official certificate.
Yeah, a big mastiff came in with glasses and said, "Are you Gus's owner?" And I said yes, and they handed over the Gus World Records.
Official Gus World Record.
Official Gus World Records.
Most NIL signed in one day.
Achieved in Pennsylvania, USA on 26th of April.
Let's go. So,
and everybody
good luck, Citrus.
Signed the NIL, if you're watching.
We have a poster.
And we have everyone's signature that is part of the Coffee Club NIL. So we're going to get this framed and put it up in the studio. Thank you guys so much. You're a part of our family now.
Yeah, and part of the track club.
And it was a lifetime contract. I read the contract and it said for life. So.
Well, so a lot of people have been asking if the NIL deals are real. And we can announce that we have signed an NDA with our athletes, so it's mostly confidential. But the signees did receive a shirt and quality time with the team. So that's worth a lifetime of whatever they signed. They signed away. So
They've signed away. They had to be loyal to Gus and had to give Gus their firstborn child.
Yeah. And mostly, I think the Instagram blast the next day or a couple of days later was very successful, as Ollie counted 83 posts going out there. So take that, Citrus. Let's see if you guys can match that. And there was only a couple of errors apparently, I think.
Okay.
I think some people, as George mentioned, like the process, I think some people like changed spots in line or something. So got a little bit out of whack. And then the one funny one is that there was a lad by the name of Zane Powell, and he was mislabeled as an Australian because Tom was using AI to like generate the captions. And I guess there's a Wiggle, a member of the Wiggles named Zane Powell. Or something like that.
And so I thought we signed the Wiggles.
Yeah, thought we signed an Australian.
That's awesome.
So. That is. I mean, that's pretty.
That's pretty.
I don't think that's cool. That bad for Zane.
No. I think he would.
I feel like he wouldn't feel that bad about it.
Yeah,
he'd appreciate it.
Not bad at all.
I want to know.
We signed a couple of Kiwis in the line.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Another Providence Kiwi.
Was it mostly collegiates or
mostly collegiates?
High school as well.
It was a good mix. I thought
more. Yeah. Honestly, a decent amount of...
So a couple pros?
Yeah.
Collegians.
Well, our first NIL signing was Joe Klecker. That's our first NIL.
We set the bar mighty high.
Pretty high with our first NIL. It was pretty huge.
But then we just had a whole team, like a half Providence team, UConn, Penn.
That's so good.
Just like all the teams,
it was pretty amazing.
You'd expect out there.
So good.
It was pretty amazing. I mean, I just want to see what the Sidious crew just going through this, going, what the fuck is Coffee Club doing right now?
Yeah, sadly, none of them were there because they were freaking partying for one of the, one of them's getting married. Is Chris getting married?
Chris is getting married, yeah.
They were on their bachelor party, so no one was actually there.
You scheduled during the Penn release?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Are you freaking kidding me?
Well, I mean, it worked out. No, to defend Chicky Chavez.
That was probably an excuse. He didn't want
to. To defend Chicky Chavez, if FloTrack had the rights to it, they probably couldn't do much there.
Sidious was there.
Their main crew hired
little minions to do photos and stuff instead, I think.
Well, nice. Our minion Avery was not there yet, but we'll have our minion doing our bidding.
Battle of the Minions. Yeah. So overall, Friday was good. I mean,
very good. But honestly, very successful. And it was also great because it was next to the on booth. So like a lot of the on people were seeing our actual, because I think some of them like know, oh yeah, Coffee Club, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then some of them were actually seeing like the line, like having Jakey Cho walk with his, the influencing manager. I think her name is Emily. I might have misnamed her. But she was like in charge of influencing, and he was coming over, and he was like looking at it and asking what it was. So like we were getting pretty.
So you're saying it was a good look for the from the brand's perspective.
Well,
for us.
From the brand's perspective, we just look very successful. We look very successful, and that's mostly not on us. It's mostly on the people that were helping us organize everything and do it all, like Tom and the team. So thank you guys very much because you made us look very, very good to on. Because we definitely looked like we were a pretty big organization.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So good.
Philly also just put on a date. Friday was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day, to be honest. And I was like, damn, the race is going to be nice tomorrow. And then tomorrow hit.
Woke up on Saturday. Not nice.
Shite.
Isn't it always like that on... Well, at least one of the days. I think there must be some rule that there's like between Friday and Saturday, there's no way both of them can be nice days. That's probably never happened in the history of the Penn release.
Yeah.
One is the max. And unfortunately, it was... Well, that would have been pretty shit, I guess, if it was like raining during the NIL signing. But I guess, you would have preferred nice weather for the rain. I mean, for the race, sorry.
I mean, honestly, looking back on it, it's just a Penn release race. I think having the nice weather there for... Because we had the group one when it was miserable and rainy. And
we had a shit go of it last year,
whereas this year we had a good day. And I think that made...
Things you can rely on at Penn relays. One of the days, rainy and windy, and... Villanova getting a wheel, basically.
Yeah.
Two things that always happen at Penn relays.
There's some exciting racing there, as there always is in these relays.
Every year I'm like, it bums me out a little bit that we never win in college. Just seeing how hype the pro meet is.
Did
like,
you have a relay back then?
Don't know, too busy chopping wood.
Too busy collecting water. I mean, Mike probably doesn't see as much of a challenge.
The pro meet is like gathering some momentum, I think. It's like being a little better each year. But when the relays go, like with the high school, even like the high school boys 4x1.
The 4x4.
I had like goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like on the infield. Like it's so loud. Like this is like Jamaican high schools.
Mm.
And the crowd freaking loves it.
That's where
all the college relays were epic.
Yeah. That's like what's special about it, you know? That's like, it's such an old historic meet. Like that, yeah. those head-to-head matchup, like take the college one, for example, like those schools, Villanova, Georgetown, whatever, like they've been going head-to-head in this meet specifically for, I don't know how many years, like forever.
It was Villanova's 97th wheel. That's what do you do with them in your like trophy room?
That's epic.
It's so, so big.
Yeah.
And there's a stack of them.
Is a shout out to them for sweeping the DMR 4x mile. 4x mile, poof, how the hell do they run so fast?
Yeah, it was impressive.
All those collegiate teams.
Really? Second fastest time ever.
Yeah, was it 15, behind the 51 world record. Or 52 they ran?
51.
So quick.
I mean, what did you guys run, Ollie?
There's
definitely a 16 at the front.
What, me and Morgan in our relay?
No.
No. I'm thinking of a different one.
Think back 2 years ago, or three.
Oh, that fucking relay. I mean, I think Ben Flanagan, God love him, only Flans. I think you ran a 4:10 first.
But it was like tactical. That was the issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Yeah, it didn't help.
I think I also just think like it's just different. Like, it's just a different thing.
But it's very rare.
There's real meaning in the college one.
Yeah. But it's very rare for the college one.
If you put
to be
meaning in the
well.
Pro one, like, you know that Oregon Relays thing was on?
Yeah.
When they had the
pacing.
Josh Kerr won the 800 American thing.
Oh.
But they had the relay stuff there as well. It's like, dude, like if you can get all those pros and make meaning out of it, like they do for the college races, it would actually be sick to see like college pro teams race each other in that way. But it's just like impossible.
It just doesn't work with the way pro side of the sport is set up.
Well, if On sponsoring the meet, or if Nike sponsoring a meet, they're not going to like be like, oh, On's going to send their guys to the Nike meet.
Yeah.
Or Nike's going to send their guys to an On meet. It's just that gets into the politics of being a professional athlete. But it is a shame because it would be cool to have the Duke, duking it out with the other pro teams because there's some pretty fast milers now in most of those teams. You can put some pretty good teams against each other.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering what we did run in college. I bet we ran
we had really bad conditions, remember? And then it got really tactical near the end with
it
you.
It was really tactical.
Because we were quite far behind. I was third and then I think I got to the lead and then I gave it to you with Ben Veach and you had that crazy kick down with
him. Yeah.
That was super windy. Mm.
That was, we had two really bad days of weather, I think.
Mm. We had the
when we did the DMR mile. We had like a 2-hour delay.
Yeah,
where we were under the stadium. We were out on the track, like ready to go under the stadium. Yeah, crazy weather. But
I'm pretty sure these guys, the anchors all split 3:54, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's why they ran so quick.
Even the girls one, seen two Kiwi girls just freaking dominating the DMR in Kimberly and Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Maya getting the dub. She's very good at the moment.
Apparently, I'm just looking at the notes now. And shout out to Maya. Apparently, there's heartbreak for Providence. Did you see what happened to their women?
Oh, I did. What race was that? Not DMR. Was that for MR?
So, apparently, I didn't see this
I saw a video.
So, in that DMR, they also broke the record, I guess, but they lost to Harvard. And then in the 4x8, it was them against Washington.
Yeah.
And she got, I've watched, I went back and watched it a couple of times. She dropped the baton with
20 to go, maybe.
Yeah. And I can't tell. It must have got knocked out of her hand. It's not like you just drop it, but you couldn't really see the contact happen. So I was like, it was kind of confusing.
I think it was a little bit of karma because she tries to cut her off.
Yeah. She kind of
she tries to push her out into lane 2 or 3 instead of just running.
I don't know if it was her fault though.
But she was on the inside.
Yeah. But I think
And the UW girl's coming around the outside.
I think the UW girl ran into her. On the curve.
But that's not when she dropped it.
Yeah. Oh, so then you're saying down the straight she started going outwards. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think you're right. Yep. That's what happens.
I mean, I feel bad for you, whoever that is. But
they suck. Our friends
That's tough.
Our friends at Providence. But exciting races, though. Very exciting racing. And I mean, clearly, they have some amazing squads if they're up there setting records and competing for the win at such a big meet. So, yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. But
there's another big race that day.
Yeah, shall we go into the
Ben Franklin Olympic development?
Is that what it was called?
Wait, it's Benjamin Franklin, on the money?
Is it the same?
Must be.
Did he go to Penn or something? He's on everything at Pin Relays. Like, he's like the figurehead.
Really? He runs, he's like, is he the meat director?
Maybe that's
it. Well, I know he's on money.
Yeah.
He's on like the $100 bill.
He's a big deal, isn't he?
Yeah, I
can't. Yeah, because something. You want some Benjamins.
If you want some Benjis?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was Sir Ben Franklin.
I thought that
Mile.
Was after Benjamin Aidenchink. I didn't know if it was Benjamin Franklin, but here we are. but we had the mile. We were very lucky to have George Beamish pace the last 10 meters of the race. No, he was pacing 1,200. It was funny, though, because you were like, oh, the Rich was just like going around. He's like, the weather's going to be good. It's going to be great. You're going to do great. And then all of a sudden, the weather went really shit. And you could tell that. I think Jared was a little nervous because he hadn't raced in a while. I was a little nervous because, like, I didn't know how my body was going to be. Just like because it was a week after being from Australia, had the coffee club thing the day before, and just overall, like, I was moving as well. So I was very fortunate enough to have a few mates from the team as well as my mum come out and help me move. But moving is always just a stressful thing, and it's definitely not a nice thing to have that before a race anyway. But either way, like, go in it the best you can with it. And obviously having Jared in the race as well was like super nice because he's always going to make it honest or push the pace.
Well, pretty nice to have the world champion pacing as well.
Yeah, and a world champ pacing.
he's really good at pacing.
I mean, he was what you were just you were literally bang just bang on. You were almost.
What was his same pace?
57.5. So like 155.
It's not slow.
So like you were like 2:53, right? Which is like right on pace.
Yeah, like it was like half. I might have been like half a second off.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Yeah. And I was reasonably pleased with my effort. It was quite hard. It's hard in a mile because the splits are off. Mm. So like there's like no split at 200 meters. No one was giving me one. There was a guy gave me a 400 split, I think, but then I didn't hear anything again for like the rest of the time.
It was also quite windy. So it might have been
definitely
hard to
felt
hit.
Like I was pushing pretty hard into down like back straight and across that curve. But I was like looking back a ton, trying to like figure out what was going on. And at some point, I did feel Jared like seemed to slide back a meter or two. But yeah, and I thought pacing's always the kind of thing where you like you want it to feel really easy, and it just doesn't quite feel like that.
Well, I think Jared had the same
it's always
thing
slightly harder than. It's always slightly harder than you want.
You always
to be.
Think that like I've run 3:43 or I've run 3:47. Like running 3:50 should be easy. It's like
you can never
approach it like that. And I like Dathan kind of gave me the pep talk, and he's like, "You stay on Jared, you squeeze." So I was like, "Okay, all right, I'll just sit on Jared." But then I forget Jared's also racing. He's not my pacer, and I was kind of a little bit confused with that because when I watched. I think it was like a near to go, a lap to go. Jared started falling off the pace.
Right at like 600 to go, I think.
And I'm like, shit.
Which
like,
was the windy stretch. So he was probably just like, ah, oh, fuck this.
So I was like, oh, shit. Like, I really need to try and go for this time. So I was also about to piss myself because I didn't go to the toilet beforehand. That's like, kind of sucked.
Mistake.
There's like no bathroom out there.
Yeah.
It's really
which
difficult
was a bit
to
annoying
because
we were out there for a bit. And I was like, damn, I need to go to the bathroom. But
you're in a speed suit.
And I'm in a speed suit too. It's not great if I was going to, you know, just start. Taking a whiz.
Could have just done a wee in your suit.
I could have, but I didn't.
Well, you knew you had a workout afterwards, so that'd be...
Yeah, that'd kind of suck. But I overtook Jared, and then I tried to go for it. And so you know how, like, with Penn, it's not... It is a 400-meter track if it's in lane 3, but there's lanes 1, 2, and 3, and then 3 is where the rail is. This is how, like, inept I am at that point in the race. I, like, went to take it, and then I'm looking up, and I'm not paying attention to where my feet are, and I'm seeing the track to there. So I start... moving that way and I hit the rail with 300 to go and I'm like, oh shit, luckily I didn't fall over, but I kind of like lost momentum a little bit and I'm coming through with 300 to go and then all I hear is from the announcers like, Eric Holt, here comes Eric Holt. I'm like, holy shit, Eric Holt's still here?
Yeah, he was
and I was
coming
like, damn, like
end.
We're starting to go and it was pretty, it was still pretty even like an intense last 200 meters and then Jared comes around the outside. I was just trying to like hold my form and run through.
Have you seen the replay of that?
He goes into like lane
he's
2.
He's literally so wide. It's hilarious.
I was confused as to why he was trying so hard to pass like on the curve and stuff. And
he must
so
have
wide.
Run an extra like 5 meters.
I was confused.
He never told me why he did that, but I think
maybe he was just trying to give you space.
Yeah, I think it was to give me space, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Because we ran through and it was 3:51.2.
What was the time for the... This is the Olympic qualifier time.
Oh, yeah. 3:50.4. Okay, but I think On got confused because then they were saying They posted a video of me like walking to the line, and they're like, moments before Ollie Hall gets the Olympic standard.
Oh, they said
I
that.
I think they yeah. They must have just had that like ready to go.
They had ready to go.
Had it scheduled.
Yeah.
And then I was like, the Olympic standard is 350.4. And I was like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing because like.
It happens.
I didn't want people to think that I hit the Olympic standard, you know, because I didn't. And
what we realized is it's pretty damn fast. We realized that Ollie's run 347, but that's the only time that you've run under that Olympic standard. I think like, that's
run,
how hard it is.
Yeah, I've run 350.8.
You've run 350 a bunch of times.
Twice. Indoors. Where I think indoors is... maybe it's not easier, but with the wind and conditions, it might be easier if it's paced well. Just to like to factor out the conditions a little bit. But I mean, I was... I came off the race and I was really pretty angry and pretty upset because I hit the rail and I thought it was just super embarrassing. I was like, oh. Like, I'm trying to go from the big stand. I can't even fucking run the track. I was just really...
If it helps, I watched the race and I didn't even notice that.
Well, that's good. Cinta noticed. She made sure she told me. You hit the rail? I said, yep, hit the rail.
DQ.
But no, I was pretty pissed off about it. But then I thought, you know what? Like, after everything, the past couple of weeks, even if not months, I was like, I'm pretty happy with that performance. And if anything, it's a step in the right direction for me. Because I've only raced... Yeah, this is my third race back. And, you know, it wasn't an easy race. And George paced it really well, and it was a really good opportunity.
And but you held off Holt the Bolt,
and I held off Eric Holt.
He was his last 50 meters. He was coming. He's a good runner.
Good finish. Yeah, he's amazing.
I mean, yeah, he did get fourth at the
he's amazing
trials.
But
yeah, no, it was a good race.
I think it is a good point that now that the standards are so hard, like you can kind of take them for granted a little bit. You can just like. Turn up and be like, all right, I'm chasing the standard today. I'm chasing the standard in this race. But to run, 350 or under 333.5, it's not easy to do. So you do need like a bunch of things to go right. Like you do need like good conditions, good pacing, etc. It's not like back when the standard used to be 335 or 336. And then if you're a 330 mm-hmm. runner, like you can just kind of go do that. Because the same in the 5K, like 13:05, that's how I feel. I'm like
they don't just hand them out anymore.
As someone who's never run 13:05 before, I'm like, fuck, that's hard to run. And but even for like the good guys, it's pretty hard to run as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think.
I thought it was pretty damn good in those conditions, running 351.
I mean, hearing from Yared how it was hard for him, I was like, okay, that's comforting to me.
It's 8 seconds slower than his PR.
Yeah, that's comforting to me.
How ridiculous is that?
Because it makes me feel like. Yeah, we can't, I hate the saying horses for courses, but you can't always judge a time or a race you can't judge a race on the time always, like from the effort or from like how the race is kind of run. So like I had to kind of learn that lesson a little bit and be like, it was a good race for me. I have to like be positive about it.
Just looking into the next one.
What does the saying have to do with that?
Horses for courses?
Yeah.
So like certain horses might run faster at certain courses.
So isn't that what that means?
Yeah, well, some horses perform better at other tracks. So, like, the saying is, like,
no, but
I might run faster in Monaco or Oslo, but that's because probably the conditions are always really good. Good pacing, nice
But
track.
Every horse would run faster at Monaco.
Maybe not a Villanova one.
they
peak for pin relays.
But I think maybe I misused the saying, but it was more
I was just joking.
Yeah, but now you're making me question the saying. That.
Yeah. I'm still caught up on the fact that your race was called the Benjamin Franklin Mile. Like, because, so that's what it was called.
So it was sponsored by money.
Well, that's what I'm confused about because, you know, if a race has a title, that means they're sponsoring it. So is there someone, or maybe they just didn't have a sponsor.
Why
so
didn't like, they call it? It's like the Bill Bowerman Mile.
But, why wouldn't they call it? Yeah. Okay, see, it's unsponsored, right? Unsponsored me. I know there's a lot of history with Penn, but they should probably change the Ben. I don't think Ben Franklin has ever run a mile. Maybe he has.
He definitely didn't break four.
He definitely didn't break four. He definitely didn't have an American record. Maybe it should just be called the Yared Nuguse mile, you know?
Do you think there's someone out there, like Benjamin Franklin has, like some PR agency who's like, oh, yeah, we should put his name on this meet. Like, we should put his name on this event. Like, it'll look good. That's
maybe,
what I'm
maybe
confused.
Maybe he's from
like,
Penn.
Like, who
Is
wanted
he from
that?
Penn?
Who wanted that?
Ben Franklin must have a good connection to
I'm looking this up.
Something to do with the state of Pennsylvania or something.
Yeah, it's an old state, isn't it?
It's an old... Isn't the school... Is the school older than America?
Possibly. I don't know.
Probably. Like Harvard and shit, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's Ivy, so... They got their shit down. So, yeah. Some
It was a race. Me and Ollie did
a great race. You guys
did a workout along the river afterwards.
Good. Honestly, I actually thought the workout was more impressive than the race.
Yeah, you guys had a really big workout.
The workout was good.
5 times a mile and 4 times a minute pushes.
That's quite a bit after a big race.
It was a long day. I got in 18 miles on Saturday.
Sheesh.
That's him there.
Yeah.
So he died in Philadelphia, but he was born on Milk Street.
Milk Street.
Boston. He was a scientist, inventor, statesman, diplomat, printer, publisher, and political philosopher.
Also a race sponsor.
Also sponsors the Yared Nuguse Mile. Has run
342.4. Wow. Okay, that's fair then.
What is Benjamin Franklin famous for? Defeating Yared in the Benjamin Franklin Mile.
It makes a lot of sense now why it's named after
him. Yeah, it all works out, eh?
That's cool. But yeah, on that day, we also had a bunch of our other teammates out there getting it done. We had Sage winning I assume her race wasn't sponsored by Benjamin Franklin.
I think it was sponsored by...
Was there a female?
It was sponsored by Ulysses Grant, the Ulysses Grant 1500.
Fair enough.
No, but she ran amazing, I thought.
Yeah, got the dub. There was Cinta in the 800, unfortunately didn't have her best race, but... From my perspective, I think it was really good for her to just come back and get out there on the track after coming back from injury, and I think it still sets her up really well. Just
Rust Buster.
Get the season opened up.
Not even hit speed work yet. Not even near speed work.
Yeah, I think she'll be good. I think it'll be a nice point to just start from and then just keep progressing. And then Mario did an 800 as well, and he looked pretty good. He had a sneaky... I was very impressed by how he was able to... weave on the inside of a lot of people.
He was talking to us about his acceleration and how he's been working with his sprinting stuff. Because you watch him in the back straight, he really has been focusing on that.
You can see it paying off.
Didn't get the dub, but he was like right there with a lot of those guys. Yeah. So he did
really
very
good 800 guys. So that was it. Another year, another pen. Addy Rittenhine signed announced her NIL, not with Coffee Club, unfortunately.
I have an update with that.
We couldn't get her.
She was on the plane near me with Dathan, and I just gave her the idea of like, would you be interested in pursuing a bigger path in your career to maybe join Profit Club? And she said, absolutely.
Did she actually?
Yep. She's 100% down. She said, if Gus is involved, she's in. So maybe we can work something out. Gus can do an interview with her, but maybe some of our cool stuff coming up, maybe she can do some advertising for us.
That'd be huge.
But she ran something really slow, like 9:14 for the 3K.
It was crazy.
I'm pretty sure
for women.
I'm pretty sure that's about how fast I ran
that year. At that age, same. No, I probably ran slower.
I think I ran that in college, in freshman year.
Yeah,
9:14.
No, unreal. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Is she still a sophomore?
She's a sophomore, I think. So.
Still, it's crazy how you're a sophomore for a whole year. It's like her running performances keep getting better, but she just stays a sophomore.
She stays a sophomore, yeah. I think also the American record in high school for women is from Caitlin Tui, and it's 9:10, so she's not far off it.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
So apparently Dathan mentioned she might go to Brooks PR. I think that's a big high school meet. And he's like, oh, she's going to go and crush it.
Go for it. Why not?
Put the screws in.
Man. We'll see how she keeps progressing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean... She's probably going to be running 8:10 by her junior year.
It makes sense.
It does.
But yeah, I think, is there anything else from Penn? Anything else from Philly?
I got a new name for Penn. We can just call it Pencil Relays.
Pencil Relays. I don't mind that at all. The Pencil Relays.
The Pencil Relays.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. The Pencil Relays presented by On.
Yeah.
What else do we get up to?
Yeah, Philly.
The coffee... stuff
we struggled a little bit.
Was
it mostly because
business
like
trip.
Once you go to the East Coast, everything in the morning feels really early.
So
because we lose those 2 hours, so then and the race was at like we're kind of in the middle of the day, so we didn't have like a lot of time to just chill at coffee places and
just
the
hustling,
just business trip.
It was honestly straight business, and then we struggled to get a reservation because obviously with Penn going on, there's so many people out in restaurants getting food. So luckily for us, Cinta was able to come in clutch for the last night because we were struggling to find a place to eat because everything was booked up. So
you had some good Indian food, I heard.
We did. I got a spicy curry. That was pretty good. It wasn't as spicy as I thought it would be.
Really? You ordered a Pepsi, but you got Diet Pepsi.
That was sad. I could tell the difference. How sad is that?
You can tell the difference.
I can tell the difference.
What's the difference?
Well, you can tell the sugar.
Yeah,
like the sugar's just not there, so it doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, it's just like
it just tastes like. It's like an olipop.
Ollie just sounds like, olipop, yeah. I need some sugar. I'm going to get a Pepsi. They bring it back. Diet Pepsi. No sugar. It's
like, I should have got a mango lassi, but mango lassi was $7 and didn't have a refill.
That's expensive.
I wasn't paying.
George was like, I was a pain. But then I was like, George, I don't know why I should get a mango lassi. He's like, but you're not paying. And I'm like, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, it was yummy.
That's another year of pen down.
Another pencil down.
Another pencil release down. Another, I think, successful trip for the boys. Yeah. And for the team in general. So
just back in Boulder for a little bit.
Yeah. Now we're back here hunkering down. Well, LA is actually not that far away, I guess.
3 weeks
for us.
Away.
That are racing that.
Dathan said I'm doing 4 workouts a week now instead of 2. Just to have to catch up, obviously.
Makes sense.
He said I'm pretty far behind. So.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll be here a bit stateside, and then things get rolling towards the end of this month, and then rolling even more the next month, and then rolling even more the month after that, and Olympics. So getting into the thick of it now.
Cool. It's going to get hot and heavy very quickly.
Yeah.
So it's all happening. We'll be here once a week.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So thank you once again, everyone, for listening to episode 135 of the Coffee Cup podcast. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye.